have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of James. Book of James, chapter number 4. James, chapter number 4. If you remember, Brother Wynn, when he preached revival at Mountaindale, and again, I appreciate Brother Wynn coming and preaching there and preaching meeting. The Lord had put him upon my heart and really felt like that was the Lord's will. And appreciated him coming and preaching the word. And I appreciate Mount Lebanon for not only praying for him, but praying for our church and praying that the meeting, God would help us and meet our need. And I really do appreciate that. Brother Wynn, he preached on a word all week. And that word was draw. And I'm sure he preached those messages here. Matter of fact, I think I heard him on the radio last week. When I get a chance to listen, I sure try to, Brother Wynn. And I heard it on there last week, preaching one of the messages on the word draw. And he preached all week on that word draw. And when Brother Wynn asked me to come and help in revival, I began to pray and asked the Lord what he would have me to preach. And God gave me this message. I began to study and pray, and God gave me this message. And guess what it's about? It's about draw. Amen. All right. James chapter 4, if you're able tonight and you can stand with us, we'll read the Word of God together. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. We understand that. James chapter number 4. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Ask Brother Bill Conrad if he would to ask God to bless his word tonight. Yes, God, grant that, Lord. Yes, God, I pray. Help, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you, Brother Bill, for that humble prayer. We read this scripture tonight, and it doesn't sound much like revival scripture. We read in verse 9, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That doesn't sound like revival, does it? But what precedes that, and what follows that is what brings revival. I think tonight that most of us are somewhat interested in revival. We're here, and probably if we wasn't interested in revival, at least just a little bit, we probably wouldn't be here. Amen. So I think we're kind of interested in revival. Brother Wynn said a while ago, you know, he kind of waits and wonders, you know, if anybody's interested in revival. And I hope we are. I hope we're interested enough in revival, amen, to listen to what God has to say to our heart. I hope we're interested in revival enough to be willing to spit out our pride and obey God and do what God would have us to do. And if we'll do that, I think God will send us revival. And you've heard it before. I mean, hey, we can't work up revival no more than we can make it rain. But I'll tell you, if we'll obey God, I think God will be pleased to give us revival and stir our heart and help us draw closer unto the Lord. Now, as we read this scripture tonight, we think about what is revival. Revival is the renewal of the presence of God in our life. Amen. That's what revival is. It's the renewal. It's a fresh drink of God in the depths of our soul. It's a fresh, amen, a fresh touch from heaven down in our heart, in our soul, that we could be closer to God. Amen. Yes, that's what revival is. And I think tonight that most of us are interested in that. And I pray that we'll purpose in our heart, amen, that we can draw closer unto God in this revival meeting. Amen. Now, as we read this scripture, I want to take the text verse, and we're going to be using all this scripture, but really the text verse comes from verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." And you know what that word means. Brother Wynn brought that out in a number of different ways. But here, this word draw nigh, it literally means to come near. It means to approach. It means to get closer to. And what God is saying in this scripture is that if we will approach Him, if we will draw near to Him, if we'll get closer to Him, He'll do the same to us. Amen. I mean, if we'll draw near Him, He'll draw near us. Amen. And that is what revival is all about. It's about not only God getting close and drawing to us and drawing us, but it's about us drawing nigh unto God. And so I pray that God would help us this week to draw nigh unto Him, because His promise is that He will draw nigh unto us. What a God, what a Savior we serve, that He would draw nigh to us. I mean, the one that set the stars in heaven and set the universe, amen, in its movement and in its form and all these things, that He would draw nigh to you and me. Hallelujah. What a God, what a Savior, amen. And not only that He would, but that He wants to. That amazes me, amen, that God wants to draw nigh to me, but He desires that I draw nigh to Him. Now, as we look at this tonight, drawing nigh or getting closer or getting near God involves several things that we find here in James chapter number 4. First of all, drawing nigh to God involves a reality. We find that in verses 1 through 6. The phrase "draw nigh to God" implies that there is a distance between God and those to whom He's writing or those to whom the Word is being preached. There is a distance between them. And the reality we see here in verses 1 through 6, that there is a distance. Is that not what He says in verses 1 through 6? That there is a distance, amen, between these people and God? That's exactly what it implies. And the reality is tonight, amen, that most of us
are not as close to God as we ought to be. Amen. That's the reality. Hey, we'd all like to think, hey, that we're right up as close to God as we can get, and we're right up there. But the reality is, most of us aren't. Most of us aren't as close to God as we could be. And when we stop and think about that reality, probably if we would be honest, oftentimes we have a closer walk with the world and the things of the world than we do with God. That's what he's saying in this scripture. That's what he's talking about. These that James, amen, God used him as a penman to pen down his word. And as this went out, amen, God was saying, hey, listen, you're not close to me like you need to be. And he gave the reality of that. And sometimes we think, hey, we're right up there. We're close to God. We're walking and talking with him. We're as close as we can be. But the reality is, most of us aren't. Amen. That's just what it comes down to. Let me ask you the question tonight. How close, hey, don't look at your neighbor. How close are you to God? Amen. Oh, we can sit back all day and we can look at our neighbor and say, that I don't think they're close to God. But what about you? How close are you to God? You see, that's what God is getting to here. An individual thing, a personal thing. How close are you to God? You say, well, preacher, I've not missed a service in 5 years. That's great, but how close are you to God? You say, preacher, I've been a deacon here in this church so many years. Hey, that's great, but how close are you to God? You say, well, I've been a Sunday school teacher here at this church. Hey, that's good, but how close are you to God? You say, well, preacher, I sing in the choir. Hey, that's great. I enjoy that choir singing. But how close are you to God, you see? That's what God's asking these people and telling these people. How close are you to God? That comes down to a very personal thing. How close am I to God? That's the reality of it. And if we want to have revival, hey, we have to be real with God. We have to be honest with God where we are with God, amen. Or we can't have revival. I think sometimes we don't have revival, amen, because we think we're good enough as we are. Amen. I'll preach on that in a minute. But hey, all of us, I'm sure all of us could move up a little closer to God. We could draw nigh a little closer to God. I think from the pulpit to the, amen, from the pulpit to the pew, we all could. How close are you to God? That's the question. Now, I not only see that drawing nigh to God involves a reality, but in verses 7 and 8, I find that it also involves a relationship. Notice what he said in verse 7. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. The phrase, submit yourselves to God, draw nigh to God, amen, and God will draw nigh to you, that speaks of a relationship. Yes, it really does. It speaks of a relationship. Now, when we think about that, the very reason that God created man, the very reason that God took the dust of the earth and made a body and breathed into that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. The very reason God did that is so that man would love God and fellowship with God and worship God.
Amen.
That's the very reason.
God
made you and me. God made mankind. Amen. That man would walk with God and talk with God and fellowship with God and be in love with God. Amen. That's exactly why God made us. That's why he made Adam. Hey, but the thing is, sin came in And what happened? Sin broke the relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Sin came in and sin broke the relationship. We find them in the garden. We see there as they was in the garden, the Bible said, amen, the voice of God came, amen, to walk and talk with them in the cool of the day.
Amen.
God fellowshipped with them.
Yes,
but God came into the garden. No doubt it wasn't a surprise to God. He knew where Adam was. But God said, where art thou, Adam? I wonder if God still says that today. I wonder if God looks down on you and I that are saved by the grace of God and God says, where are you? I've not heard from you in a while. Hey, you've not let me talk to you in a while. I've not heard you talk to me in a while. Where are you? I wonder if God looks down sometimes at me and God says, Eric, where art thou? Amen. Because I'm not close to God like I maybe ought to be. You see, sin broke the relationship. And drawing nigh to God, it involves a relationship. And did you know God thought so much of that relationship before man ever sinned? God already made a way, amen, to take care of that sin. Hey, that's how much God thought of you and me.
Yes.
That's how much God loved you and me. Oh, we're saved by grace, but grace came by love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God loved us so much, amen, before he ever took the dust of the earth and formed man. God had already made a way that man could be redeemed. Hallelujah. That's pictured there in Genesis chapter 3 when he made the coats of skins.
Isn't it?
And so we read, turn, look in your Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. You see, God wanted relationship between you and I, between you and I and him so much that when Adam sinned, God didn't just annihilate him or cast him away or send him into the pits of hell. No, God had already prepared a way. And he made that way through his son, Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. Notice what he said. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, we were sinners, lost and undone. We were aliens to God, foreigners, strangers to God. But through Christ, amen, we can be made nigh to God. Through the blood of the cross of Calvary. Why? Because that blood, hallelujah, takes care of our sin. Amen. Now listen what he goes on to say. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know what that wall is? It was sin. Amen. He goes on to say, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. Hallelujah. You ought to shout right there. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Boy, isn't that beautiful? I'm telling you, God cared so much about, amen, the relationship of his creation, mankind and himself, that God sent his only begotten son into the world to die for our sin, that we could be reconciled unto God. Christ took God's hand and Christ took man's hand. Hallelujah. And through his death on the cross, he brought them back into fellowship, Brother Wynn. Hey, and we can draw nigh to God because of the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you what a privilege it is that we can get close to God unworthy as we are, sinful as we are, yet through Christ we can be made nigh unto our God. Bible said, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh to you. The Song of Solomon says this in chapter 7, verse 10. Said, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. God's desire is toward you. It's toward me. Did you know of all the things that God created? Amen. Of all the things that God made, His desire is toward you and I. That's amazing to me. You see, God could have done away with man. He could have cast man, amen, into hell. God could have created another race or whatever God wanted to do. But I'll tell you, God cared so much about the relationship between Himself and man He created that He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. My goodness. So this drawing nigh, it involves a reality. Amen. The reality that we're probably not as close to God as we could be. But it also involves a relationship that you and I that are saved, we can get close to God. Amen. Because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I want you to notice something else, not only relationship. But in verse number 7, I find that drawing nigh to God also involves a resisting. I want you to notice. Look what he said. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That means to yield to God, to surrender to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This drawing nigh to God not only involves a reality and a relationship, but it involves a resisting. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Resist the devil. That word resist literally means to stand against. It means to oppose. Amen. It means to stand in opposition against. Amen. Yep. Resist the devil. The last thing the devil wants you to do is have revival. Right. The last thing he wants you to do is to get closer to God. Amen. Right. That's the very last thing he wants you to do. You know what he'll do? He'll try to give you some kind of excuse to stay at the house tomorrow night. Yeah. He don't want you revived. He doesn't want you getting closer to God. And he'll do everything in his power that he can do to keep you from doing that. Exactly right. What did God say? He said, resist him. Resist him. You know what the devil will do? Even if you come, he'll try to get your mind on everything but God and the Word of God. Yeah, he'll try to get you to start thinking about what you've got to do tomorrow. He'll try to get you looking at the watch and say, I wonder when that preacher's going to be done. I'm tired. Amen. Brother Derek said, I'd rather preach good. He didn't have his nap. Amen. I'm trying, brother. Amen. But that's what the devil will do. Amen. He doesn't want you or me or anybody else in the church to have revival. He doesn't want us to get close to God. God said resist him. Oh, you know when he'll come. He'll be trying to talk you out of something good. Out of something godly, something right. Amen. Yeah, he will. Matter of fact, you know what else he'll try to do? He'll try to discourage you and get you out of heart. He'll slip up to you and he'll whisper. He'll say, you're too far from God to ever get any closer to Him. Yeah, that's what he'll say. Hey, there ain't no use for you to try to get closer to God. You're so far away, you'll never get any closer. Bible said he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. Oh, my. And then if he can't do that, you know what he'll do? Boy, I can't wait till the day they chain that rascal up and throw him in the pit. Yeah. You know what else he'll do? If he can't discourage you and get you out of heart by thinking you're so far away from God, you can never get any closer, he'll try to build you up in pride. And he'll come along and he'll say, you're probably closer than anybody else to God in this church. Amen. Yeah, that's what he'll say. He'll say, hey, you're close to God. You're good where you are. It'll be all right. Amen. He'll cause you to fold up your arms and say, well, she may need to go to the altar, but I don't need to go. Amen. That's what he'll do. The Bible said, amen, we're not to be ignorant of his devices. He works through discouragement and pride more than he works through anything else. Yeah, he does. That's two of the greatest things he uses. Matter of fact, I heard one time this fellow went to the devil's seed barn. And when he went in the devil's seed barn, he saw one great big old pile in this corner and one great big old pile in that corner. And he asked the devil, he said, why have you got so much of those seeds? Because the devil said, I found they work the best. Amen. One was labeled discouragement and the other one was labeled pride. Amen. Yeah, that's right. And so we need to stop and think tonight that there is a resisting to be done. If we're going to draw nigh to God, amen, there's a resisting to be done. Matter of fact, not only the devil, but your flesh. Your flesh will try to keep you from getting close to God. Amen. Yeah, that's just the nature of the flesh. That's why Paul said, amen, he died daily. Amen. His old flesh ain't worth nothing but death. It'll try to keep you from good things of God if you let it. So now we found in this draw nigh, amen, we found a reality that we're probably not as close to God as we ought to be. We found that there was a relationship, amen, that we can get close to God because of what Christ done at Calvary. We found also that there's a resisting, amen, to be done. If we're going to draw nigh to God, you can't listen to the devil and get close to God. But then also tonight, not only that, but also I find in this scripture from verses 8 down through 10, I find there's a repenting. A drawing nigh to God involves a repenting. A repenting. Hear what he said. He said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And then he said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaven. Why would he say that? Because they were following the Lord afar off. Just like Peter was. Amen. I'm afraid like a lot of us do. He goes on to say, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's a repenting. Now, true repentance. What's repentance? Well, we've probably heard a lot of definitions. A lot of people say this or that. But true repentance, amen, is a change of one's direction and attitude, amen, towards self and towards sin and toward God. Amen. That's what repentance is. It's a change of one's mind and attitude and direction towards self, towards sin, and toward God. That's what repentance is. You say, well, what does that mean? Amen. Let me give you one of the best examples of repentance in the Bible. Look in Luke chapter 15. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. If you want to see a good illustration of repentance and what repentance is, Luke chapter 15 has the answer. Luke 15, verse number 11. Matter of fact, I could have preached this whole message out of this scripture. Verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He took all the blessings of the Father out down in the world and wasted them, every one. You know, a Christian can do the same thing. You can take all the blessings God's blessed you with and take them out in the world and waste them, every one. Amen. That's right. Now notice what he said. And when he had spent all, there's time they're going to run out. He said, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, we find in this scripture two kinds of repentance.
Bless you, Lord.
We find two kinds of repentance. The Bible said Judas Iscariot repented, but it wasn't a repentance toward God. He just got sorry for what he done. Amen. But he never got sorry enough, amen, to change the direction he was going. Amen. That's right. And in this Bible, in that scripture I'm reading, there's two kinds of repentance. The first kind of repentance is right here. He got sorry for the situation he was in, and he tried to fix it himself. And a lot of people get sorry for the situation they get in, and they cry about it, and it tears them up, but they, amen, they never turn to God and let God help them. That's a different kind of repentance. That's not a full repentance. Notice he goes on to say, he would fain have filled his belly with a husk, the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now that's repentance, but it's not a repentance toward God. And verse 17, and when he came to himself, I mean, it's like somebody turned the light on. He finally realized, amen, how good it was at the Father's house and how wrong he had done, amen. And he became convicted, amen. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, here's one of the best pictures of Bible repentance you'll ever see. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. You see, repentance, I said, is a change of one's attitude towards self, towards sin, and toward God. And it changes your direction, the way you're going. It's a sense of one's own guilt and sinfulness. It's a sense of God's mercy and grace that He'll bestow upon you if you'll just turn to Him. And he said, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Amen. And ran out and kicked him and said, where in the devil have you been? Not right, is it? Amen. That might be the way some Baptists would do it, but that's not the way God does it. Amen. That's right. He came out and he had compassion on, and he fell on his neck and he wept and he said, son, I'm so glad you're home. Do you know that's what God does every time we come closer to Him? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When we come to God in true repentance and a true attitude of repentance and faith to God, God doesn't kick us out and say, where you been so long? God pours His compassion and mercy out on us. God loves us up in His arms.
Thank God.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's what it's like. This is a picture of what it's like getting closer to God. That's a picture of what it's like. Notice what he goes on to say. He said, when he arose, verse 20, and came to his father, when he was yet a great way off. My goodness. You see, he drew nigh, but also did the Father draw nigh. His Father saw him and had compassion and ran. You know what God does when God sees you drawing nigh to him? God runs to you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I tell you, if we wasn't so dignified, we'd shout all over the house, say glory, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Notice what he's saying. I can't help but enjoy this. Amen. Notice what he's saying. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, now this is repentance. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Sounds like revival to me. Doesn't that sound like revival to you? I mean, hey, getting the robe of God around you and getting a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. Sounds like revival to me. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Do you see what preceded revival in this picture? You see what preceded revival? First of all, and I could have preached the same message out of this scripture. First of all, there was a reality. The son realized he was a long way off from home. A long way off from the father. But then he also realized that there was a relationship. He said, how many of my father's servants have bread and more than enough? There was a relationship. Amen. That's right. There was a resisting. Why would a man starve to death, stay in a hog pen and try to eat the husk? Because the devil and the flesh is saying, just stay a little longer. It might get better if you'll hang around. Yeah, that's right. So there was finally a resisting. He resisted the urge to stay where he was. But then notice there was a repenting. Verse 18, I'll rise and go to my father. Now, I don't know tonight. I don't know how close you are to God. I know how close I am to God, if I'm honest with myself. I don't know how close you are to God. But if you'll be honest between you and God, and if you're not as close to God as you ought to be, it's a good time to head back to the Father's house. Amen. It's a good time, amen, to realize you're farther off than you need to be, and to realize that God is waiting there for you to come. And if you'll come, he'll run to meet you. It's a good time to resist the whispers of the devil as he says, just keep your seat. And it's a good time just to repent and get close to God. Let's bow our head tonight. I want to say this tonight while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Drawing nigh.